to the Culture Curators Podcast. We're here to share insight, information, and resources to help you become a more effective salon business owner.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Culture Curators Podcast. Today is our very, very first episode, and we are super excited to have you here, whether you listen to us or whether you're watching us. Couldn't do this without my partner in crime, Jill Rohn. Today, we are going to be talking about toxic employees. It is a really important topic for us to unpack together. We both, unfortunately, have experience. We've done some research for you, so we're going to talk about it today, and we're really excited to get going. So, Jill, why don't you kick it off? Where do we kind of start when it comes to toxic employees?
Well, we hear it a lot when we're coaching, and we spend a lot of time talking about toxic employees, and those are people who generally are good people. However, they have some maybe character traits. Right. And some of those character traits might be that they like to kind of stir the pot in the back room. They like to talk negatively. They might be a really high producer. In fact, oftentimes they are a really high producer. And so it's very difficult for a business owner, a salon owner in particular, to know how to handle that because they do bring in a lot of money. However, they create a lot of unrest in the salon as well. And so when we thought about our first podcast, we really thought, what's going to be a hot topic? Yeah. And this is really a hot topic for everybody.
Yeah, because I think that, you know, the longer that you're in business and the more employees that you've had either come and stay or come and go through your salon, the more you're going to experience this topic. And it is just really important to understand the weight that a toxic person carries within the salon and the energy that it creates. And I, unfortunately, a lot of times, negativity can be stronger than positivity.
For sure. You know what I mean? Yeah. And you know what? Has anybody ever had an opportunity to work with a very toxic employee and you finally, for whatever reason, have had enough and either they leave on their own or you ask them to leave? And what is it that you hear the rest of your team say? It's always, oh my gosh, it's about time. Mm-hmm. Or it feels so much better in here without that person. And I think oftentimes as salon owners, we tend to wait too long before we remove the toxicity in our salon.
That is really big. You just made me think of something like, you know, like when you've ever been in a relationship, like let's say romantically, or someone close to you has been in one that, you know, is toxic. It's not great. And when they finally it ends or break it off, it's like everyone tells you what they had always been right. thinking.
Yeah.
And you're like, damn, why didn't you tell me that before?
Right.
But more than likely you weren't ready to hear it, or maybe it was too uncomfortable for them to bring it to you. And I think a lot of times that happens with your employees in the salon. When that person finally goes, it's like a breath of fresh air, even when they're a heavy hitter income-wise. Because the reality is, listen, the money matters, man. The money always is going to matter in a business. I always hear people say things like, that business owner is all about the money. And I kind of laugh at that because that'd be like saying a human's all about air. Like, you need the money to actually breathe the business and continue it to flow. But at the same time, it's like that saying, not all money is good money.
Right.
And toxic people, when you say toxic, like, you know, sometimes you think of your mind, or I think of like just a horrible human being, right? And that's not necessarily what it is. It could be someone that you genuinely love. Mm-hmm. They just have toxic tendencies or toxic behavior. And again, when that's someone that is like a heavy hitter or someone that's been tenured with the brand, someone that's been there for a long time, someone that has a huge following, there's huge influence along with that.
There's a lot of influence. And so I want to talk a little bit about what are some of the symptoms of toxic employees. Mm. How do you know when you have them at the beginning versus when it's kind of exploded
right.
and it's kind of too late?
Yeah, I think that's a really big one. Like, okay, so I'll start with that one. So for me, it's are you able to have a confidential conversation with this person?
Mm, right.
That's huge.
Confidential.
Like, meaning the minute that, you know, you've said what you've said, that as soon as that person leaves the room, is that spoken with other people, especially when you've clearly and explicitly said, this is a really important conversation for us to have together between you and I.
Right.
And my request, and this is a really important thing as a leader, my request is that it stays between you and I.
Yeah.
And when that person violates that request right away, it is a massive red flag for toxicity.
It is a great one. I think another good one is, are they coachable? Mm. When they come in for a one-on-one, are they willing to receive feedback, yeah, whether it's positive or and or corrective?
Right.
Are they willing to set goals? Are they willing to try to attain it? And if they're not, I think they're kind of toxic.
Well, a lot of times too, if they're not coachable, they're not willing to change.
Correct.
You know, and not being willing to change can at times be a toxic trait. Not always, because there can be a resistance to change, which is different than an unwillingness to change. Right?
Absolutely. There's a lot of people who are resistant. We know this from DISC, doing DISC personality assessments. And there's certain personalities that need to adjust to change. They need to take time to think about it, to digest it, to be okay with it, and then they will change. And then there's others that just flat out refuse to change. A huge difference. The people who need to adjust and adapt, they're okay. They're not toxic. They just need that time. That's how they're wired inside. Right. The people that just flat out refuse to change, there's the toxicity.
Yeah. And I think you have to also analyze yourself. Like, you know, unfortunately, there's toxic leaders there out there too, absolutely, right? So you got to ask yourself, like, have I displayed toxic behavior? You know, that's a really important self-reflection question. And that kind of brings me to my next thought, where it's like, what's the level of self-awareness for this person? A lot of times toxic people aren't even really aware of their toxicity or toxic behavior, maybe because they're, you know, it's habitual. Maybe it's because they come from a home that this is an acceptable behavior.
Right.
Maybe they have toxic parents. Like, who knows? Maybe their circle is. So I think it's really important to identify that and just be really protective and selective in who you hire and who you let go. And I know for a fact, for me, from personal experience, like, it's just really hard to let people go. And,
it is.
You know, when you are a business owner, genuinely, most of the time, you care a lot about the people that come through your doors.
Yeah.
And it is really hard. It's like a breakup, you know? And I think this goes hand in hand with being able to have a tough conversation with the person to help identify what's happening, make them aware of it, and then allow them to decide if they're going to shift their behavior toward being away from being toxic, or if they're unwilling to and continue to do what they're doing that's unacceptable. And then you have a choice as a leader to make. And I think another thing is, what is their conversation in the back room?
Absolutely.
That's a huge bullet point, if you will, around toxic.
Yeah, absolutely. Because everybody knows those people that go into the back room and they've got this big pot and they just want to start stirring. They just want to start mixing shit up and seeing what's going to stick and who's going to come in and who they're going to invite into this negativity. And it's like this negativity swarms in the back room and then it comes out and then it impacts the client experience, which is horrible. And when you talk about culture, and we're all about culture, if you've got someone that's stirring the pot in the back room and it overflows into the salon floor, into the spa floor, it's going to impact client expectations and the fact that we're not going to meet them.
Yeah, I also think that, like, hand in hand with that is that person, what kind of conversations are they having with their clients? You know, like, are they drama-based conversations? Are they unloading all of their personal drama, their personal issues? If they're going through something on their in their personal life, personal relationship with their family, whatever, are you unloading that on clients? And is it like you're using your clients as a sounding board for your drama? Or are you doing the exact opposite? Because if you're stirring the pot in the back room and you're just a natural pot stirrer, then more than likely you're probably having inappropriate conversations on the salon floor that kind of they go out of bounds of the level of professionalism.
Yeah, absolutely. And yet I do have to say, I think that we'd be really remiss if we didn't say this. At the end of the day, the buck stops with the owner.
Mm-hmm.
And I go back to a very simple read, The 1 Minute Manager, in where they talk about how to reprimand
right.
an employee. And if you use that and you use that consistently, one of two things will happen. Either the behavior is going to stop or they're going to leave.
Yeah.
And so
it's one or the other.
It is. There's just no two ways around it. And so I think that we need to, as business owners, we need to take some ownership and we need to identify that this is happening. We need to address it by the tough conversations. And those are difficult conversations yeah. to have, and nobody wants to have them. But in that book, it's a very, very simple 60-second dialogue, and that's it. You have that a couple of times, and you have to ask yourself, how willing are you to let go of this employee? And maybe this employee, like we said, is a top performer. So are you more attached to keeping the money and putting up with the toxic behavior and not protecting your culture and yeah. not protecting the remaining team? Or are you going to be consistent, and are you going to say, I've really done my part as the business owner. I have tried to lead, direct, and guide this person. Their toxic behaviors are not going away, so it's time for them to go away.
Right.
And I think that oftentimes, I know I'm very, very guilty of it, I kept them way too long. Yeah. And it was detrimental to the business.
Yeah, because a lot of times the damage is done. You know, once you finally let it go, it's just like you've let it go so long that your actions have shown the rest of your team really what your culture actually is.
Well, and that's the other thing. You are sending a message, yeah. a loud and clear message to the rest of your team and what you're going to allow and what you're not going to allow. And by allowing that toxic behavior to a higher producer, the message is that you produce enough and I'm just going to have a blind eye to what you're creating within the organization.
Yeah, and I think, you know, on that same kind of line of thought, it's like what you allow, you have to realize, is actually what you encourage.
Absolutely.
So if you're letting the toxic thing just swirl consistently, you're allowing it to poison whatever healthy part of your culture you've tried to create. And that's what I had to learn the hard way, where it's like I wasn't protective enough of the culture because I was fearful of either the person leaving or upsetting them or just the fear of confrontation. And to be honest with you, it's not worth it. You know, it's not worth it not to just swallow the fear and push through it. Mm-hmm. Because when you don't, like, you just lay at bed at night and this thing eats at you. And every time that you hear this behavior, you're doing one of two things. You've learned to ignore it, like it doesn't exist, even though you know it does. Right. So you just suppress it, or it just eats at you. Neither are good.
No. And I think that you said a really, really powerful word, and that was fearful.
Yeah.
And, you know, are we running our business based on fear? The fear of losing this person and losing their clients, the fear of losing income, the fear of losing retail. But what we don't understand is that there's a real fear of losing the great employees.
Exactly. Like, you have to realize that. Like, you could lose two or three people because of the one you keep on. It's yeah. not always who it's who you don't fire that can hurt you the most a lot of times. And this is a really big sticking point for people because again, it's really hard to have a tough conversation and let someone go. Like, I still hate it. I'll always hate it, but it's just something that needs to be done at times. And I think switching gears a little bit in the sense of, like, okay, let's say that you've identified this behavior, or better yet, it's been going on, meaning you've allowed it to go on for a while. Well, then what's a step? You might be asking, if you're watching, what's a step to, like, stop this? Like, how do I even, like, broach the subject? And, like, you know, you could be thinking, like, I'm on eggshells. I don't know what to even do or what to say or how to even approach this. And I want to kind of equip you with a little bit of a suggestion. And I've definitely used this. And I think it's really important, where when you finally want to have the conversation and for real, like, stop this thing and end it, and give the person an opportunity to change their behavior before mm-hmm. you're letting them go, you have to own your part in it. And you have to apologize for, listen, I've done you a disservice. I've allowed something to go on for quite some time. It could be years, and you need to say that. It could be for years. I've allowed something to go on because I've been afraid to upset you. I've been afraid of having this exact conversation. You just got to get real. And I want to tell you that I'm sorry for my part in not calling you out on what I really need to as a leader. And what I owe to you as a leader is to call you out on specific behavior that needs to change, and then also protect the environment that we've built in the salon for the betterment of the entire team.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really, really important to do that. And it takes strength and it takes courage. And here, what I call it is having a piece of humble pie.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes as a business owner, we have to have a piece of humble pie just because that's what we need to do.
Sometimes you got to shove the whole pie in your face.
Well, I've been there and I've done that. <That's> and it's uncomfortable, but yet it sometimes is necessary to do. Yeah. And the team sees you in a different light, or that person perhaps sees you in a different light. And so sometimes by setting the table in that manner, it eliminates the person being on the attack.
Right.
It just takes them down a level, and you ask them to have a transparent conversation and a truthful conversation.
And the reality is then it's up to them. You know, it's up to them if they're going to actually have it or not, if they're going to be real about this conversation, or if, again, they're going to continue to display toxic behavior right after. And I've had both happen. And in the sense of like, okay, we finished this conversation. I feel really good about it. I thought the person felt really good about it. And then it's clear within a few days, just from behavior, and then things always come back. That's the thing that toxic people don't realize. Your behavior or what you're saying to people always ends up coming back to the owner. Like whatever whatever you've said or, you know, overspoke on, it comes right back. So now you as an owner, what you need to do at that point is follow directly through. So you can't like have the conversation and then just kind of let go. It's have the conversation and follow through. That's the biggest difference, because you have to be ready that if the person is going to continue that behavior, that then you got to make a decision that makes the most sense for the business.
Yeah. And I absolutely think that the decision has to be made before the first conversation, because if you're unwilling to let that person go, why are you having a conversation?
Right.
You know,
you can't be unwilling to let anyone go, to be honest. I mean, it stinks, but you have to be willing to protect the culture at all costs, no matter what, you know, impact it has to the bottom line. And you have to realize that, you know, your culture, it directly impacts the bottom line in ways, right? Your culture is a feeling, it's a vibe, it's an energy that you're creating in the space that your business lives. And that energy, you know, is there a direct correlation to your bottom line? No, it's different than like sales, right?
Right.
But it can still impact the overall feeling, the overall vibe, the overall energy, and then again, how other people perceive your culture or other workers are affected by it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, one of the greatest things is if you have a toxic employee, perhaps one thing that you can do is you can have like someone go in and almost do a secret shopping to see what happens behind the chair or in the treatment room or in the pedicure room, and to see, does that toxicity impact the guest experience? And if so, how? And yeah. So I think to do your due diligence, do a lot of observation, not just with that person, but with the entire team.
Yeah.
Maybe have a secret shopper go in and then have a real conversation. And the key there is real.
Yeah.
Real conversation. You have to be willing to take the risk and have that conversation.
Yeah. And I think, you know, you have to continue to identify, like, you know, what toxic behavior looks like. And if you are constantly seeing that this backroom banter is happening, or maybe this person seems to, when they get upset about something, it spreads and it expands. So as opposed to internalizing, keeping it there and then bringing it to the right party, it starts to spread throughout everybody. And it's almost like they kind of want to rally the troops up and get them kind of fired up too and on their side. So that's really dangerous and can also be a major red flag.
It is a huge red flag.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So how do you want to wrap up this conversation? How do we kind of put a button on it?
Well, one of the things I think is just being willing to take a look at each individual person and identify if you have any toxic people on your team. And if so, what does that toxicity look like? What are you willing to do? Like, you got to put the stake in the ground. Mm-hmm. And what are you willing to do? Are you going to do observation? Are you going to have a secret shopper? Are you going to have a one-on-one with mm-hmm. that employee? And what are you willing, how far do you want to take this?
Right.
Is it negotiable or is it non-negotiable? Is there certain things out there displaying that are negotiable and other things aren't negotiable? Right. You've got to get it super straight in your head. And then you have to have that real conversation with them. You have to be consistent with it. And then you have to be willing to follow through with it. And follow through means up to and including potential termination.
I think that wraps up our first episode.
There you go.
I don't have anything else to add to that because I think it gives you the perfect blueprint of what you need to do. It starts from analyzation, understanding and identifying what's happening, and then creating a course and plan of action that you then stick to and then follow through on. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Culture Curators Podcast. Please like, comment, follow, and subscribe.